Amen. Great singing. You may be seated, Brother Rick.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Tonight's going to be a little different than ones in the past. You've noticed that many times that when I bring someone before you, I try to quote their very own words. Because if you ever want to know someone, you listen to them. You draw close to them. Tonight is going to be as much a concert as a presentation of the lives of the people I will share with you. I found no better way. So with the help of Logan in the back, we won't have any more weirdness going on up front, but there are three specific hymns that I want to play for you from these folks. It just so happens that a lot of times we have a real limited view of what a psalm is or what a music is. This morning we had a perfect example of a person not just playing for us, but playing to their God. The first time I ever saw this happen is when I was in our church in California. Brother McLaughlin was a very, very big man. I had opportunity to pray with him once. And I said, well, Brother McLaughlin, when did you get saved? And he said, you know, Brother Rick, I don't remember. I've always known Jesus died for me. But when he came up to sing, he had a baritone voice. And in that baritone voice, you could tell we were there as spectators because he was singing to his God. Tears would run down his face because his songs were praise, adulation, and lifting of God up into the place where he truly belongs in all of our lives. The family I'm going to talk about tonight is a family that lived that way and lives that way today. The person I talk to you tonight about just so happens is still alive. We're number 22, but all 21s before, by the grace of God, had already gone on to glory. You'll see by the end why I chose this person. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be here together, to understand a little deeper what is music and the critical part it plays in church life. Lord, we lift you up with praise. We ask, God, that we would learn through tonight that no matter how cold Jordan may be or the valley deep that we are called to walk, you do not leave us nor forsake us. And truthfully, God, it's only in those places where many of the graces that you wish to form in us can be formed. We just lift you up with praise. Give us a glorious time together tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms, a great book, but it has a lot of biblical truth, especially about music. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. How many of you sing softly? Oh, let's sing. If I sing quiet, people won't hear how bad I sing. Now, that's my excuse, everybody. I don't know if any of you may use it, but we're supposed to be loud and rejoice and sing praise. We sing with our instruments, the harp, with the harp and the song, voice of psalm. Our voices were a musical instrument that God gave to us. He did not have to. Our passion for tune and hymn and its ability to lift our spirits, to convict us, to help us memorize. How many little ditties did we learn as kids? Little tunes that triggered our memory to grab onto truth and hope, facts. Look at any one of our militaries, and all of them have a tune like the Navy hymn. What about the, Star-Spangled Banner, our national anthem? The whole point is that music is as part of being a human being, and it's a God-given part, but like all God-given parts, people can play with trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord. That word trumpet there is shofar. How many of you have ever seen a shofar? Some of them are massive in size. And in fact, at the temple, at certain times during the day and during certain feasts, the place of trumpeting, the person would literally stand there with this massive horn and blow it, and the whole city of Jerusalem would hear. You could literally set your clocks by it. When was the last time we... Strange enough, I had about 6 weeks of trumpet training before my dad got fed up with it and decided it wasn't worth him losing sleep over, since he worked graveyard shift and he no longer rented it. So maybe a little personal story there. Also, joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, that's the same one. Ah, here we go. That's Old Testament. This is New Testament. Speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One time in my life, I was literally coming from my submarine to our house in El Cajon, California, which is quite a distance out east of San Diego. And I was getting out of the car, and I was walking on the sidewalk. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy blessed... See, I can't even carry a tune. But the point is, two stories up, somebody's window was open. And that's how a brother and sister found another brother and sister, was simply because I was having joy in song. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. The point is that our music has got to be more than just song, more than just emotional enjoyment. It teaches us. If Christian music does not teach, and does not teach well, I don't believe it meets God's requirements. And that goes both for the words, but the vehicle to which the words is given to us. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I always have a little thing for the kids to do. Now, kids, look down in front of you. You adults could do this too. Look down in front of you. In our pews, in every slot, how many Bibles do we have in each slot? Uno. How many hymnals do we have in each slot? Two. Now, I'd like you guys, kids, not the adults, but you adults can do this too. I'd like you to open up one of the hymnals. Okay? Open up one of the hymnals. And I'd like you, here's the opening page. It says Rejoice Hymns. And there's a company down here that actually does this. It's called Majesty Music. It just so happens that our hymnal, Rejoice Hymns, was actually first developed in 2011. And their previous hymnal was Majesty Hymns. Okay? But I'd like you to open to the next page. And you tell me who the compilers and producers are at the top of the page. What's their name? Go ahead, Ethan. Ron and Shelley Hamilton. And if you look across the page, down at the bottom, the long dialogue explaining why they went through all the work to put this together is a letter. And that letter, again, is signed by both of them, Ron and Shelley Hamilton. By the way, this is a similar format that you'll find in our King James Bibles. The translators of the King James Bible wrote a letter to us that maybe some of us have never read. But a King James Bible will have that letter from the translators to all the people who would read the book. Because they had purpose. They had a goal. They had objective. And it just so happens, our hymnal does too. Ron and Shelley Hamilton. I I'm going to ask you a question. Why do people write hymns? Kids, why do they write hymns? Why does somebody write a song? Have you ever, you know kids, they'll just start humming, sometimes inappropriately so, making noise. But sweetie, why, Ava, I pick on my own. Ava, why do people write hymns? I can't hear you, sweetie. Speak up. Because of their emotions? To soothe their emotions? It could be as of great good that God has done, or perhaps great challenge that they've gone through. And they want to capture it. Many of our hymns were actually paid for by suffering. The unction that God used to give us those beautiful hymns in our hymnal was difficult in trial. It just so happens, Caleb, would you come up, please? Ron has had a lifetime of music. From the time he was the smallest boy, his home was filled with music. Me, I cannot read music, though it's the most common language in the human race. I can't sing very well. I proved it. But Ron has been not only singing music, but writing harmonies and actually writing new pieces of music. And his love for the historical hymns, you might say, is a keystone. This one, if you want to turn to 265, it's called The Light of the World. This hymn, we've heard of P.P. Bliss before, but P.P. Bliss, if you know his history, sooner or later we might get around to him. But P.P. Bliss, imagine Ira D. Sankey, the singer for Moody, and the power of preaching of Moody resonant in the same person. That's P.P. Bliss. P.P. Bliss had a tragic death, literally the bridge, it was a steel bridge, improperly built on a cold, icy, bitter cold night where the steel cracked and broke and the train smashed into the canyon where the steam, all the heaters, where coal heaters burned all the wooden cars. No one even found his body. But before, he had written The Light of the World. And this is one song, if you look, P.P. Bliss wrote the words in our hymnal. Who wrote the tune that's attached to it? Hamilton. Ron Hamilton did. So, go ahead. Caleb? I had to use my grandson. I had to. Knowing what I've read about P.P. Bliss, I think he would be honored that someone over 100 years after his death would care enough about the hymn that he wrote to write a new tune for it. And that's where Ron, really, Ron grew up in a Christian household. In our day, we can get Christian teachers from books we can buy, to podcasts, to YouTube, to sort for websites. And how much do we know about any of those people? Depending, maybe nothing at all. But the Apostle Paul was standing before his death in 2 Timothy, writing to his son. He gave him an admonition that I think all of us should follow. But thou hast fully known my what? Doctrine? Manner of life? Purpose, faith, long-suffering. That's something that we will talk a little bit more about tonight. Charity, which is our love, and patience. People who we choose to be our spiritual leaders, we should strive to know those things. Because that is the foundation to where they teach. That is as much a gift to us as the very words they preach on Sunday, or we listen to them in a podcast, or a song that we hear. Ron Hamilton was born in the state of Indiana. I tried to find this which city, but it I couldn't find it. But in 1950, he is the eldest son of a strong Christian family. Christian music literally flowed through their home. He was encouraged to play the piano, learn the guitar, and odd as it may seem to me, the trombone. And those were the three instruments. But notice, the piano teaches music and the power of music. The guitar has a power that can be played anywhere, on a mountaintop, next to a stream, around a campfire, or sitting in the living room. And then a trombone. Now, I don't know about you, but I've only probably heard a couple trombonists that were spectacular. But you don't normally think of a trombone as a musical instrument that maybe we would have here. How many trombonists have you heard here at Temple, Bob? Probably just a handful. But the fact remains is, his parents wanted him to know brass instruments. How many of you parents have a plan or a goal for your kids? To empower them with strength, knowledge, skill through practice, that God at some point in time may turn to them and greatly use them. Without that plan, without that effort, without all that love, those children are left adrift. These children are not left adrift. These children, the family learned to sing at a young age. They loved the rich history of Christian music and to sing the great hymns of the faith. They were encouraged to make up their own parts and harmonize. If somebody asked me, Rick, can you harmonize? I would know, I know what simonize means, but I don't know what harmonize means. All right? It just so happens, the reason I picked this hymn to play now is because in it you will see pictures of Ron Hamilton's entire life. And more than that, you will see a photograph of the man God used to give us Ron Hamilton. Go for it. Just click on it. Take the mouse. There we go.
I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips these words. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
This is one hymn out of 65 that Ron Hamilton wrote that is contained in our hymnal. Shelley has written or contributed to another 5. So 70 of the hymns in our hymnal came through the blessing of the man you saw in that video. It just so happens that when you've been empowered with all of this ability, God's not going to let you sit still, filled with it. So Ron, when he was a young man, in fact 18 years old, he actually joined a Southern Gospel group. And it was a group that was well known. Any of you ever interested in knowing all the different Southern Gospel groups that have ever existed, you can actually go out online to southerngospelhistory.com, and literally every Southern Gospel group that has ever existed is there. And it just so happens, he was one, he actually played bass guitar for the Blackwood Singers. That's actually a record, kids. I know some of you maybe have never seen one, but those are records, okay? All right, you know, black discs that are about this big around it. Whew. Anyway, that didn't really work out because he really wanted to sing. So in 1969, he went to a second group, the New Music Singers, with who? He was so well known by 19 years old that they put his name on the cover. He was well known for his ability to sing long before he got out of high school. Wow. Ron Hamilton realized that with all the great instruction that he had, he was missing some very key components. How do you write music? There are millions of kids that practice, that learn instruments. But how do you go through the process of writing new music? Well, so he went to Bob Jones University, and over 4 years, he earned his master's in church music composition. Now, some of you who have probably been to university understand the difference between just having a music degree and having that one. Okay? A master's in it in how many years? 4. At Bob Jones? I consider that rather impressive. But music wasn't the only thing that the Lord had in store for him. Ron met Shelley Garlock. Now that last name, if you've been in church circles for any length of time, you've heard the name Dr. Garlock. Any of you remember who he was? Dr. Garlock? In the 1960s, Dr. Garlock, at the time, was probably the foremost educated Christian musician in the United States. Christian musician. He had earned his multiple doctorates going to secular schools, but he saw that a problem in the 60s and 70s into the 80s was encroaching into Christian churches, that our tune was no longer matching our message. Some churches had literally gone all contemporary, quote unquote, to try to get people to come. In many of those newer works, the message got lost in the rhythm, in the beat. And he went around, especially in independent Baptist church circles, and tried to teach people music and understand the purpose why Christian music is different than the world. But she grew up in a Christian home, and in 1975, they would be ultimately married. Bob Jones University is rather interesting. It has an interesting history. But Bob Jones Sr. and Williams Jennings Bryant, he was the man who defended creationism in the Scopes Monkey Trial. Williams Jennings Bryant turned to Bob Jones Sr., who was an evangelist, and said, "If this evolution thing keeps going, we're going to lose our young people and we're going to lose the church." And thus, Bob Jones Sr. first started his university in Florida and then moved it to South Carolina. But Bob Jones has been around since 1927. It's located up here in Greenville. Well, they were married. They would ultimately have 5 children: Jonathan, Tara, Alyssa, Megan, and Jason. And all the children of the family learned to sing when they were young. They loved the rich history of Christian music and to sing great hymns. The point is, they blessed us with new, but never lost the vision of our Christian history and our Christian heritage. Some people tend to fracture those two. It just so happens after they were married, they owned Dr. Garlock's garage-based business, Majesty Music, the same publishing house that gave us our hymnals. All right, and the company's purpose was to provide music that exalted the Lord, uplifted the church, and convicted the lost. And that takes them to 1975. Today, if you drive to Greenville, 3 blocks from Bob Jones University, you can drive right up to Majesty Music, get out of your car, go through the front door, open it up, and all the products that they produced you can buy right out of the office. Just so happens, notice, you saw this before in the first video, right? Patch the Pirate is the home of Patch the Pirate. How many of you kids have watched a Patch the Pirate thing? Okay, lots of you. By the way, over 2 million copies of Patch the Pirate stuff has been sold. This Isaiah was speaking to the nation of Israel, but it's true for all of us. "Behold, I have not refined thee, but not I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of what? Affliction." How do you know to trust God and actually prove it to yourself? By going through the dark. How do you know your God will never leave you? By being in a place where that's all you have left. You would think the Hamiltons, with their passion for God, their gifts for music, would not have to go through trial, but that's simply not true. In 1978, Ron Hamilton was having trouble seeing in his left eye. An ophthalmic surgeon gave Ron and Shelley a devastating diagnosis. Ron had cancer in his left eye. The only chance was to remove the eye before the cancer could spread to his brain. The reality is some eye cancers literally don't affect the vision and people don't catch them before it actually turns into brain cancer. So Ron went and had his left eye removed. He was doing, he was in evangelistic meetings and other things with Dr. Garlock, and the cancer had not spread, and he continued those evangelistic services with his father-in-law. Kids began to call him a pirate. Aye, me hearties, me have an eye patch. But one young child, not much older than my great-grandson, said this, "Patch! Patch the pirate!" The rest is history. It just so happens, while he was recovering in the hospital, hymn 680 in our script, in our hymnal, hymn 680, "Rejoice in the Lord," he wrote this out of the joy when he heard that it hadn't gone to his brain, that God, no matter what, was with him. Could you play this piece?
Oh, rejoice. Without purpose or plan, when trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song.
He giveth a song.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord was published some 3 years after this great trial. But there are trials greater that this family would have to endure. After Patch the Pirate, the ministry really started in 1979. Ron and Shelley, over a cup of coffee, said, "You know, we really don't have music for our young people. You don't see a whole lot of music written specifically for young people going back even 100 years ago." So they started writing tunes, and they would issue them. And then Patch the Pirate, they added a comic strip in 1982. Patch goes to space, and it was the first of 41 annual Patch albums. Ron and Shelley have received many testimonial letters from people who say how Patch was instrumental in leading them to Christ, learning the Bible. And calling them to full-time Christian service. The Apostle Paul, when he left the first churches on the first missionary journey, he left them somewhat of an ominous truth, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. Too many churches today, they don't teach the truth. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. Game over. That is the truth. That is our legacy. Truthfully, our hope. The world sees someone under great persecution, such as in the arena in Rome, and they turn to their God. 20,000 people. It's built so you can hear someone talking on the main floor. God, forgive them. Would we walk away? Would we not be willing? It just so happens in 2013, probably the most painful, to lose a child is one thing. But Jonathan, his oldest, they actually put out a CD, a trombone CD of Christian music because they all three play. Jonathan was of a melancholy disposition, but even in early age, they knew something. He had challenges greater than others. He would go into significant depression periods. Statistically, 50% of all mental health challenges are revealed by age 14. Let that sink in for a minute. By age 14. 75% of all mental health challenges reveal themselves by age 25. That's the statistical numbers. Well, what you think of psychologists or the science or the reality really doesn't matter. Those are by the numbers. How many of you, Bob, how are you today?
Excellent.
Do I really want to hear that maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer? Do I really want to hear how someone really is? I mean, really. Seriously, the first barrier to problems is the family. The next barrier are our friends. The third barrier is potentially medical interventions. But the fact is, this young man in 2013, he was an adult. Ron and Shelley got a phone call that he had taken his own life. It took another 8 years before Shelley could write her story. But she wrote it for the benefit of anyone that would walk this road after her. That wasn't it. Ron and Shelley would receive another great blow. Ron was diagnosed with early onset dementia. That is the last picture available. That was from the 2021 update. Shelley would literally put out updates on an annual basis of Ron. Being that Maria and I have had the opportunity to have in our home Maria's father, and my father-in-law had Alzheimer's. The diseases steal from an individual who they are. Over the next years, Ron stepped down as pastor of music for Calvary Baptist Church in Simpsonville, a position he'd held for over 21 years. Shelley and Ron transferred the ownership of Majestic Music to their son-in-law, Megan and Adam Morgan. By the way, Adam Morgan is not only an accomplished musician, he's also a full-blown lawyer and a representative in South Carolina's House of Representatives. As of late 2022, Shelley could no longer care for Ron at home, and he resides in a nursing home in Simpsonville today. Maria and I know the relief of taking a burden and moving it to a professional facility. But we also know the guilt of, did we do the right thing? Shelley feels those same things. But that's not over yet. Dr. Frank Garlock was called home to glory on March 3rd, 2023. He was 96 years old. Ron does not know himself anymore. Shelley does. If there's someone to pray for Shelley. Pray for Shelley. In 2021, she wrote her story about Jonathan, and they had the courage. You see, Jonathan wasn't just a kid that only had problems. When God had brought him out of the darkness, he would write songs and music that's absolutely glorious. So they issued the book and Jonathan Song CD. It just so happens that in Hebrews we're called, let our conversation be without covetousness. Everything in this world is transitory. Talk to anybody that has heard in the news about Silicon Valley Bank and the reality of billions that will just get lost. People's livelihood and income are just things in the wind. And be content with such as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How do you know that truth? How do you make that truth your own, that your God will never leave you? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. If there's something about a Christian, we have a long history of courageousness. Courageousness against persecution, courageousness against great challenge. And I believe that God has appointed these great challenges for this family because they, all the way through their kids and their grandkids and their family, through their music, they have the ability to not only learn these lessons for themselves, but to pass them on to us. By the way, the three pieces that I selected are of 65 in our hymnals, but the reality, Ron and Shelley Allen have written cantatas, Christmas plans, programs, hundreds and hundreds of pieces, of which we just have a sampling of the purest gold. I love our new hymnals very, very much. But I don't want to leave you with a thought that Shelley is in a dark room without hope. And that's the worst thing and challenge we can become. I am sure that the songs Ron wrote, that she has memorized over the years, comfort her beyond measure. And they can us as well. Hymn 682, Wings of Ingalls. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Pastor Gilchrist, Karen, Ron Hamilton, our current pastors, those that made us before we ever came to Temple. Let us remember them whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or manner of life. And this verse that you can only learn, you only learn this truth in the crucible of tribulation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the legacy of the believer. My God loves me whether I'm 1,200 feet underwater, on a mountaintop in the Rockies, or on a dark place that I don't even understand how I got here. It doesn't matter how I feel. It matters how great a God I have. Ron Hamilton, Shelley Hamilton, Dr. Garlick, all their kids. Every Sunday and Wednesday when we pull up that hymnal, may we remember that what we have is the refined gold of a life lived for God. May we follow in their footsteps. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the Hamiltons and all those that have given of themselves that we may be who we are for your service. May when people look at us, may the song, "I Saw Jesus in You," be a truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Good people to talk about.